Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Back on Afternoon Drive, that's the voice of Chris Fedor of Cleveland.com giving us his take on the struggling Cleveland Cavaliers after the Boston loss there. We do have Pete Futek of College Football News coming up in about 15 minutes here. After listening to Chris, and you know, basically some of the struggles are coming from putting Evan Mobley in this new offensive light, I think the easy thing to say is, well, just stop putting Evan in those positions. We'll revert to the offense from last year, and then you'll be fine. I care more right now. The struggles that I care more about are the teams are out-efforting and out-caring the Cavs. That is so much more fixable. And what I mean fixable, what I mean is it's an immediate fix that I think would have an immediate change without a long-term drawback. I think the idea that you get 20-some games into the season, I think it's about quarter way through the season, and all right, Evan really hasn't taken to this new role yet, so let's bail on that, I think that's dumb. I understand why people want to do it, and I don't like the word dumb. I think it would be incredibly overreactive and counterintuitive to what is going to be the best thing for you long-term. I'm comfortable with Evan noodling his way through more than 50 games, if that's what it takes. Because the thing with these kind of changes that they've made is they just take time. And so if Evan hasn't been the focal point of the offense or a lot of the offense hasn't run through him, it's a little impatient to get 25 games of the season and go, well, it's not working, I guess we'll move on.
No, you got to see this thing through. I agree 100%. The part that I find interesting and the part I guess I didn't see coming is the idea that Chris insinuates that he's Alfred. Not Batman, not Robin, Alfred. Like then, and that's all he
couldn't even be like Catwoman?
I just don't know that there's a third person in the Batman world that
there's
we're
like
going off of.
People in
I mean
world.
Like in the Batman
on the good guy
circle.
Side?
No, like the circle of Batman, isn't it? Just it's
it
Batman,
Nightwing.
It's Robin.
Yeah, there's Nightwing.
What is Nightwing?
It's like a different
I'm not a Batman guy. I don't know.
Nightwing is Dick Grayson grown up and then goes on to
become Batman.
Yeah.
Replace
his own Batman.
All I know is Chris referred to him as the butler, okay? Yeah. Like, that's all he referred to him as the butler. Let's not lose sight of that. The guy that everyone thinks is going to be MVP conversation, is going to be one of the league's game, great players in this league. The main beat reporter called him the butler. Like, we have to pay attention to that. If that's something that is true, that offensively, defensively, he'll always be great. But offensively, that's all he's going to be able to get to. And I'm not saying bail and you know, give up on the process. Let's see this thing through. Let's see if he can get there. It's been years, though. We've watched him for years. And if he's only going to be the third best scoring option, and that's all he's getting to, then that does disrupt a lot of people's plans for this season.
I just think that there's going to come a point. It's so funny because we've talked for so long about, you know, when comes the point that you're going to choose between Donovan and Darius? And that's just felt like such a logical conversation. The answer to this point has been never. And I think some of that's been lack of opportunity for the Cavs to make even a lateral move with Darius. And some of that's just, hey, we want to give this thing time to work out. And again, I think as impatient as I've been in separate moments, I think to this point, I think Kobe Altman has been right to be ultra cautious with breaking up the core four. Now, that being said, I think the next iteration of the conversation we're going to have, I think we might have already gone past choosing between Donovan and Darius, and I think we might be getting closer to choosing between Donovan and Evan.
And the problem with that conversation is that, there's layers here, right? For a while, we thought it was going to be Evan was just going to overtake Donovan,
yeah.
And then Donovan was going to get older, and as older players do, his production would slip. What's happened here is Donovan's having one of the best seasons Donovan's ever had.
Mm-hmm.
Offensively, he's been an absolute juggernaut. I don't think I've ever seen him consistently play night in, night out as good as he's doing right now, and the numbers would back that up as well, okay? The problem with this is that Evan hasn't held up to his end of the bargain yet.
Yeah.
And so it's not really even you're running out of time to watch these almost be two ships that pass in the night and then they meet up in the middle, which is what we thought this year was going to be in a handing off of the guard type situation. Instead, we're now stuck with, all right, Donovan, have this career year that you continue to have as we just kind of sit back and watch Evan just kind of be a great defensive player but not improve on the offensive side of the ball at all.
Well, and you almost wonder, with the Cavs, if you're thinking, because again, it's not that Donovan and Evan can't play together. It's that their timelines look so different. And you'd expect at some point in their 4 years together that their timelines might not converge, but would at least get closer together. I think it's harder for Evan to become the guy he is when championship expectations. It's not just enough pressure to be, you've got to be the face of the franchise. You got to be the offensive backbone of this team. You now also have to do it while trying to chase a championship. I wouldn't be surprised if that's something that stifles Evan to some degree. And it almost feels like you get to a point where you're like, okay, we either trade Evan, almost like what Houston did, even though it's a different scenario contextually, but where Houston was like, well, we want to chase championships now, so we're going to trade Jalen Green, a guy who's probably going to be a top 25 player for the next 10 years, for 3 years of Durant, right? For 3 years of maybe winning a championship now. Where you either do that with trading Evan to get better to maybe win a title with Donovan, or you decide to move Donovan to get the pieces that might fit better around Evan. And I'm talking about timeline-wise. And the reality is, I don't like any of those.
No, neither one of them seem like they're going to work out for us. Well, let's put it that way.
Well, I mean, I think, okay, with...
And without Donovan right now, this team is way up a creek without a paddle.
I think you could get something substantial for Evan that would give Donovan a significantly better chance to be a champion. And certainly in Cleveland in the next 2 to 3 years. Because I think the NBA is wide open. I think the concern would be if you bet on Evan's, upside, and then you kind of remove the obstructions, and it's back to being him and Darius's team. I think the problem is, okay, but what if it doesn't? Because like theoretically, what you're saying is, would you take chasing one title with Donovan now,
mm-hmm.
or if you get it right and you get young pieces who are ready to play and ready to build into a championship team, you can maybe make a run at 2 or 3 championships with Evan if the light comes on.
Well, I see.
But one's a bigger if than the other.
Well, and the other part of this is that the architect of all this in Kobe Altman has seemed like the least aggressive human in the world when it comes to the core four. Like, he wants to see this through. And so, like, if anybody's going to say, well, hold on, we don't have to make any drastic moves or decisions quite yet, and would play this thing out longer than maybe even some fans would want, it would be Kobe Altman. And the other thing hanging over the head of all this is that Darius Garland right now, this toe condition is a real deal. You watched last night. The man is not, and this is supposed to be something that's there the entire year. I know he's got to get himself ready and trying to feel this whole thing out, but this is night and day. He looks offensively, he's lost right now.
So much of his
game is built on having speed and the burst, and this toe issue is just not, none of it's helping.
To your Kobe point, what I think might make this year different is, you know, you were a top 4 seed the first year, top 4 seed the next year, the number 1 seed the third year. You've won so much in the regular season, consistently being a top 4 seed, that I don't want to say it hasn't mattered, but you can fall back on, look at the amount of regular season success we're having. We just got to get the postseason right. what could end up happening this year that's different, or what looks like it's happening right now in the immediate, even if it doesn't stick around, is you're not even having regular season success.
Right.
I think that could be a fire that gets lit under his ass. And again, that's a could. I don't know that it would, but I wonder how Kobe views this. Again, I'm comfortable being uncomfortable and giving Evan a chance for it to just go on, because once it goes on, it's really tough to see that light. Once that light goes on for certain NBA players, it never goes off again. But there will come a time this year where you don't have an option. Like, you get 50 games into the year, or even halfway, 40 games into the year, and Evan's not clicking. It's just not working. He's not comfortable. He's more comfortable being Alfred than he is Batman. You're not going to have any other choice but then to go back to who you were just to try and get a top four seed and the best chance to compete for a title this year.
Yeah, there's some things that I feel like the Atkinson era had promised us that for this version right now, and this, you can take this even outside of the core four, because we talked about lack of hustle. We talked about, you know, playing hard, all these things. Like, in Chris's article, he says that they're the second least productive bench team in the NBA. Like, that's just, these are the little things that I thought Atkinson had turned over and had made significantly better last year from the JB Bickerstaff time. And to watch him have a full offseason where he's not off coaching Team France and can be around everyone, where they promised us that all this development would happen, a couple injuries later, all of a sudden, it seems like so many parts of this team is just melting down, even outside of the core four.
Real quick here from Shams Charania, the NBA fined the Cavaliers $250,000 for violating the player participation policy for not making Darius Garland available for a nationally televised game versus a non-national game. Dude's got a toe issue, you Jagaloons. That being said, Pete Futek coming up in about the NBA's the Jagaloons, not the Cavaliers. Pete Futek in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Back on Afternoon Drive, Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin. More on the Cavaliers to come later in the show. And coming up at 5:20, we'll get back to the Jeremy Fowler, Kevin Stefanski report. It is a report, right? Like, it feels heavy-handed.
It's not even really a report. He was just him writing in his notes column, essentially.
But
his mailbag.
But I mean, saying that, you know, it's a name that comes up a lot in coaching circles, I don't know.
You can look at it one of two ways. You can look at it either this is him just carrying water for Stefanski and helping him out because he's somebody that he's used for sources in the past, or you can look at it of him being like, this is just obviously how I see this going with the coaches this offseason.
Could also be both. Not
sure.
Be the guy that's like, it could be both.
No, it could be both. Yeah, no, definitely could be. Yeah.
Now, we got Ohio State, Indiana. We've got Alabama, Georgia. We got one heck of a weekend in college football. And Thursdays at 4:20 means we're going to talk it with Pete Futek, college football news here on the Fan Hotline. Pete, welcome to the show, buddy.
So I'm guessing, is everything right with the world now? Like, it's after years of going through this with everyone, like, this Michigan game at the end of the day, just another game. And sub question, what deep down, what percent part of you, you're not going to admit this on the air,
12.
What part of you really kind of wanted Michigan to win this? Just for your own professional purposes.
Pete, we don't get enough, honestly, we don't get enough content out of Ohio State for you, Steven.
If
like,
we
do
were
that.
In Columbus, maybe.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Now,
so that wouldn't have made your life easier or better.
Anything, I enjoyed the hell out of Saturday. And that my only thing, Ryan Day's big win with humility trip, which is the right classy thing to do, by the way. In the moment, I was mad at him because I was like, no, get two or three more scores because you sure as hell could have done it in that fourth quarter.
Well, and I like the fact that, you know, if Michigan had defended the M in the middle of the field as hard as it, you know, did, if it did that against the Ohio State offense, it might have won. I mean, look, if you really wanted to, you know, win with no respect, you don't plant the flag. You just have sex on the M in the middle of the field, just like everyone else does. You know, so
to do that. And I haven't even done that at like Toledo Stadium, and I went to BG. I just, am I missing out here?
Apparently so. I didn't go to Michigan, but I've heard stories.
What about Wisconsin? I know you're a Camp Randall guy.
Yeah.
You do it on the Badger?
I did not. I will not go further on that because, yeah. But anyway.
What about in the end zone? That would be apropos.
It's a little too on the nose.
I did this disrespectful thing. My first house party in Madison, I did pee on the Camp Randall arch you know, at a house party there. So there's that.
That's why you guys haven't won a national championship since then.
Oh, that and the fact that there was Wisconsin. When I was there, they didn't go to a bowl game or the NCAA tournament the entire time I was there. They got good after I left. So
the curse of Futech's whiz is, I believe, what they called it.
Mm. Oh, actually, though, I did get Don Morton fired by doing that. So there's that.
Look at that. What a win.
How did you get him fired?
No, just by, the curse of me.
Oh, okay. I genuinely thought I was like, they came down and was like, this is just, that we can't have this. Not on your watch, Morton.
I did meet Barry Alvarez, though, when he first came in. I was this 18-year-old college student reporter, and somehow I got the question. I asked him, I freaked out about what to say, and I asked him about the great, how does it feel to be around the great Wisconsin tradition? And he gave me a smell the fart face and looked at me and was like, son, I just came from Notre Dame. We won the national championship. The Wisconsin program tradition don't mean bleep. Yeah, I was like, okay then. Thank you, coach.
Pete, all right, so we had Joshua Perry on, former Ohio State player, does NBC Sports now. And his setup for this game, the Big Ten title game, it was basically he thinks Mendoza's overrated and he feels like Indiana's run game is heavily underrated. Is that how you see it as well?
Kind of. It's a scheme. You know, the scheme works talent-wise. You know, they're not even close to Ohio State. And Ohio State should win this methodically. But here's the thing. It kind of gets blown off nationally, including Michigan. Where's the really good win by Ohio State?
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
It's like, I don't know, at Washington, but not really in September, or Texas in August. They haven't actually, it's Michigan. Obviously, it's a great win. You win at Michigan, no question about it. You needed this. It goes beyond just X's and O's and teams. Great win. But they did get housed also by Oklahoma and USC. So it's, Michigan's not one of the elite Big Ten teams this year. So how good is Ohio State? They haven't exactly been fully stress tested. I do think they win easily, kind of, but more methodical, nothing sensational. I think the spread is kind of ridiculous. But the real question here, I mean, it's beyond the X's and O's, beyond who's going to win and running game, all that kind of stuff. Mendoza overrated. No, he's fine. He's probably going to be a top five overall pick. Where does the loser fall? Because the College Football Playoff Committee has yet, Hunter Yurecek and all this stuff, has been really cagey about this. If they haven't come out and flat out said yay or nay to whether or not they're going to punish conference championship losers. Because remember last year, that was a thing. Mm-hmm. Because in the final rankings, it's either three Penn State, four Texas, or flip that around. I can't remember which was in the final rankings. And finally, there were three or four, but they got knocked out because of the whole conference championship thing. So Boise State and Arizona State bumped up there. So if Indiana loses, is it still two? And even if it gets destroyed, is it still two? If Ohio State loses, is it still two? Like, how far does this lose? And this is kind of a sucky part about this whole process. They're not telling us anything because they want to give themselves an out in case Alabama gets destroyed and BYU beats Texas Tech. They want to be able to have different ways to do this. But if they go by their precedent of last year, this game is a true exhibition because, fine, whatever. If you're the one or the two, actually being the two might be better if you're missing Notre Dame.
Pete, do you look at Indiana as a true national title contender? Because I want to remind you, they are still Indiana.
There's that problem. There is the it's still Indiana part. And look, they're to win four games in the tournament or three games in the tournament, whatever they have to do, is good. You got to win back-to-back-to-back great games, and it's kind of been forgotten. They were really close to losing to Oregon and Iowa and, you know, it's if you can't hit the curveball on the right day, then they blow you up like they did against Illinois. I'm not sold on the SEC teams, so I do think they can beat anybody in the SEC. You're still going to have to deal with Ohio State again, most likely, even if you do get through the college football thing. So, yeah, they're a contender, I think, more so than an Ole Miss is, or more so than even maybe Alabama is, even if it wins the SEC championship. But we'll see. You know, like if here you go, you got the pucks on your stick, Indiana. You want to do this, beat Ohio State, win the Big Ten championship, and there's nothing illegitimate at that point. If you do that, and you're 13-0, you're the only undefeated team in college football. Forget the name on the front. You're the real deal.
It's a college football committee. I don't like how it feels like it's turned into like a little bit of data, and then also like what's in our gut. Like what just go there. It doesn't fully make sense to me, Pete. And even you describing the process, it's like what will they take what they did last year as far as the conference title games? Will they do a new algorithm to try to make sure that a team like Alabama is certainly in? It feels like it's not right.
And the show is a disaster. The post gig, Reese Davis, God bless his heart. He's legitimately good at this. He's trying, but man, you get Hunter Yurecek on there, and he can't. They need a press secretary. They need someone who can explain what they did and why, and they just can't do it. So the problem became, and Reese asked him flat out, "Why now?" You know, Alabama over Notre Dame. When to the rest of the world, the very cynical side of the world says, oh, yeah, look, of course ESPN wants Alabama and a fifth SEC team in there. So, of course, they're making this sort of happen. But the answer being like, they beat Auburn, so that was a good rivalry win. Well, okay, but go deeper. Do the work, Don. I mean, Notre Dame destroyed Stanford, which might not seem like much, except Stanford did beat Florida State, who beat Alabama. And for some reason here, everybody has forgotten how Notre Dame lost to Miami. And so head-to-head, yes, Miami should be ahead of Notre Dame, but that was 24-24 with like 65 seconds to go. Florida State beat Alabama by 14, and it took a late score just to get it to that. But all of a sudden, the Florida State win, which is by far the worst by anyone in the top 12, kind of gets blown off because, oh, the SEC, of course. And so it's just it's kind of all over the place. They should be able to put cameras in the building, put it in the room in Grapevine, because if you can't explain why your rankings are what they are and you're afraid of any blowback, well, you shouldn't be in that room.
All right, Pete, we go to the coaching rumor mill. Bob Chesney went to UCLA, didn't even end up at Penn State. Are you a believer that Penn State already has something in the bag, they just can't say it yet, or is it a crap show?
They have to. And to go for the pretentious name drop thing, I asked one time way in the day when Texas lost defensive coordinator, I think it was Will Muschamp, and asking Mack Brown, what are you going to do now? He's like, well, we're Texas. We'll find another defensive coordinator. Well, as it turned out, they did, and they stuck from then on. But anyway, same thing. You're Penn State. You're going to find a good head coach. And so either they're kind of waiting this out and kind of trying to see whether or not Manny Diaz actually beats Virginia and wins the ACC championship, or maybe Tony Elliott, or maybe one of the key assistants. But whatever, whoever it is, it's not going to be a big enough name for Penn State fans. I still think, like many others do, that James Franklin was still the right guy and they got rid of him too early. But okay, whatever. But they're still going to have their chance at throwing money at whoever they want to throw their money at and get somebody. It's going to be okay.
What'd you make of the calendar discussion around all this?
What everyone forgets, and it's kind of lost, is that theoretically, these guys are supposed to be college students and go to class. So, like, you kind of have to, within the confines of the university system, you kind of have to, you know, kids have to enroll and transfer within a certain period. So there is a reason for the calendar being like it is. There's no good way of doing this. I get it. For some reason, the early signing period being now, I get it. You got to do it to get the guys into class and enrolled. It's in timing period. It just stinks that the timing is right now. But it comes down to this. Do you actually like your soon-to-be former head coach or not? Because if you're looking around the board, you know, all these other guys are still coaching their way through their conference championships and if the college football playoff happens. I mean, John Summerall's still at, you know, Tulane. Mike Norvell's still at Florida State. You know, it's not just because of money, because I actually like him. If you don't like your head coach, well, then welcome to LSU. And they enjoy your time there. We want a, you know, Michigan man coaching Michigan sort of thing happening there with Ole Miss right now. So it really depends on how this all ends and with when you lose a head coach.
All right. We're going to give you 5 minutes to scream about Lane Kiffin and what a jerk he is.
I don't care. You know what? I think I'm stumped for him. I've always thought he was vastly underrated as a head coach. This is the first time he's going to get a chance to really open it up, and let's see what he can do, because he was only at Tennessee for 1 year. He left to take a better job, which got lost in the discussion then, for USC. And the second he got there, they got hit with the Reggie Bush sanctions and weren't eligible for anything. So he's never really had a chance to do this. I know he rubs everyone the wrong way. He certainly rubs administrations the wrong way. But he was really good at Florida Atlantic. He was the best coach in the history of Ole Miss football. And now it's the first time he gets a superpower program that's bound by nothing. He has all the funds, all the resources, everything there to win national championships now. And let's see what he can do with this. Because after everything, he's probably the best coach going, you know, outside of Cignetti. So, all right, let's see what he can do.
All right, I'm going to ask you, because I feel like every week we ask you, and every week you get a little annoyed that we ask you. The Heisman odds here. Diego Manziel, as you've called him, is at the front of the leaderboard. Sayin's there, and then Mendoza's there as well. Out of the three of them, who ends up winning it?
Can I say none of the above? I mean, look, it's going to depend on the conference championship games. Actually, I don't know if it's going to be me, but you know, Diego Manziel will be on a lot of ballots at two or three. Jeremiah Love will be at three, maybe on some of these. But let's say Jeremiah Smith hits an 80-yard touchdown catch in the first play and ends up with, you know, five catches for, you know, 219 yards. Remember, Devontae Smith won it based on him just destroying Florida in the SEC championship game, and it was like, okay, yeah, that's the guy. In its conference championships, Bryce Young won it based on what he did on a late drive to beat Auburn and then in the SEC championship game. So if Fernando Mendoza goes off and has, like, you know, a perfect game and beats Ohio State, Heisman over, he's got it. If Julian Sayin goes 22 of 23 and is brilliant, I think he kind of wins in a, you know, kind of Julian Toretta sort of way. I think he wins it in a Gino Toretta type of thing, best player on the best team, even though he's not the best player, and I think Caleb Downs should get that. But anyway, long-winded way of saying, I don't know. I've got a ballot. I'm supposed to vote for this thing. I'm not supposed to say what my ballot's going to be, and I can honestly do that because I still have zero clue what those top three are going to be.
All right, can we buy that vote from you for Jerlyn
Chance? Yeah, I am absolutely for sale. I can be absolutely bought by your team. If you want me to vote for your guy, I can be had for like a 6-inch sub, you know, deal, you know, with fries and a large drink. I'm good. I'm easy.
A medium drink.
That's my final offer, Pete.
All right, we'll discuss. We'll work on that. Pete, maybe a two spot for that.
You're the best, buddy. We appreciate you.
Thanks, Pete.
There you go.
Pete Fewtech, College Football News on the Fan Hotline.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
As always, you can listen to this show and all of our local shows on the Fan on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick and JP back on Afternoon Drive. We got Cash Lovett.
Hate it.
Coming up at 6:30 tonight, but we are going to get back to the Kevin Stefanski blurb from Jeremy Fowler at 5:20 today. We get the lead coming up in just about 15 minutes here. But it's interesting. The Wyatt Teller situation has not – I just continue to be as irritated or more irritated from day to day that we don't have any clarity, that it's very clear – that Wyatt himself is not thrilled with whatever's going around. And you can tell that because Carly Teller, his lovely wife, and his mom have both tweeted similar things that might tell you he's not really thrilled with whatever the hell happened. And I thought it was interesting. Like, Mary Kay Cabot was on with the Morning Boys today. And again, Mary Kay's just kind of piecing together what she knows and putting it out there. But as I was listening to what she said here, I'm not mad at Mary Kay, so I don't want to. But I just got it took me right back to where I was on Tuesday, where I lost my damn mind about it.
So whatever the case was with Wyatt, apparently they felt they needed to see something else there. At this point right now, I think when he gets back from the calf injury, he's going to have to show some things, and maybe he will. Maybe he'll do whatever he needs to do, or maybe he comes back next year in a different capacity or something. I'm not exactly sure. They do have to rebuild their line for next year. They know that. And if you have an opportunity to audition someone for the job, this is the time to do it.
I don't understand why we're auditioning Tevin Jenkins. There's 5 years of NFL tape on Tevin Jenkins.
Well, I mean, so maybe they're just looking at it as a cheaper option. And I don't want to give them credit in this because, you know, I think what they've done is crap. That's why I think I spearheaded the thing on Monday and bringing it all up. I don't love this situation. I think it's awful. But Tevin Jenkins spent the majority of that time in Chicago as a tackle. And so maybe they're trying to see now if he can do something different as a guard.
Well, what's weird is he was best at the tail end there. He was playing right guard.
And that's where he was best.
That's honestly what saved his career. Because yeah, Tevin is a right tackle or left tackle.
He was just he was unplayable.
Did not work. So, like, the idea that you need to see, like, we're talking about this off air. I get Luke Whipler. Luke's been here for 3 years, and we really hadn't seen the field consistently. I think Ethan Posick is finally playing as well as he did his first year here, but I understand. Luke Whipler, next man up, okay. I don't get the Zach Zinter thing. If you're not good enough to dress, you don't get to audition. I'm not. That sounded personal. I don't mean it against Zach. I think he was one of the great guys of that Michigan team. It's just if you can't crack the everyday lineup, I'm sorry. If I can't put you on the active roster all but one time this year, I'm not going to let you in there against real NFL competition. But at some point, there were two things that really... One, bringing back Wyatt in a different capacity next year. You're going to bring back Wyatt Teller, the guy who's graded out as your best offensive lineman as a backup. You can get the hell out of there. Well, you absolutely can. That's insulting at this point.
Well, it just doesn't make any sense. And even in a different capacity, were they thinking maybe left guard? And if Joe Batonio retired, is that maybe what she was suggesting there?
Well, then what wouldn't we see?
I would just put Tevin Jenkins. I would put Tevin Jenkins over on the left side, and then I would just let Wyatt stay in his role.
Yeah.
But like the crappy part about this is a contract year, and you're doing it to this man. First off, there's no point of auditioning people anyway in the middle of a football season. That's not when you do auditions. This isn't what this is supposed to be. You're supposed to put your best players out there and then let the chips fall where they may, not do auditions with Tevin Jenkins.
Yeah, I mean, like, listen, we are getting to audition point of the season, right? At end of the season, in a lost season, but you don't do it with one veteran for another veteran.
Well, but I think it's just a crappy way to do that to somebody in a contract year.
Well, and that
has been so good to this team.
I'm so glad that you brought that up, because doing this in a contract year, while also, let's be clear about it, while the guy has been one of your best players for 7-8 years, that's where it gets really personal.
I mean, if you'd paid the man, the top rate for a right guard in the NFL with all the guarantees attached to it, and then said, listen, we want to do a couple plays here and there, I can understand that a little bit better.
Yep.
A little bit better, but he hasn't gotten his bacon yet. And I just think it's a crappy way to treat somebody that has been as good as he's been.
And listen, this is Mary Kay saying it. I'm not mad at Mary Kay. But the line of he's going to have to show some things, what hasn't Wyatt Teller showed you? That's that, and I'm actually getting like legitimately heated. Like I'm going to have to take off this ridiculous
And I've gotten reignited
Christmas
with
sweater.
This too.
Yeah. Like
it's not
like
showcasing.
He has
as well.
To show things.
Yeah.
Are you freaking kidding me? The guy has played hurt and been elite. The guy has busted his ass. The guy has been one of the good guys in that locker room. And by the way, the $230 million quarterback that you traded for that embarrassed the franchise with all the crap that you brought, that guy couldn't be bothered to be a part of the damn community. Wyatt Teller came in day one and was a part of the community.
Mm-hmm.
And so where are your values as an organization? Like, what matters to you? Because for a long time, the Browns have gone by and very apparently spat in the face that character matters. But this is too far. You want to bring in a guy with 20-plus sexual assault lawsuits? Well, okay, that's how the NFL works. But this is not how the NFL... You dogging a guy in a contract year at 30 years old who is your best offensive lineman... By far, your best. That's not how the NFL works. It's really hard. It is really hard to defend so much of what they've done. I will not even attempt to defend this. This is so classless to me. And that line, show some things. I'll be honest with you. If I was Wyatt Teller, I'd show him one thing. And then I'd say, you can kiss my ass, pay me to go home. Because this is, I mean, show some things? He's a rookie?
It's just not how you do business. Yeah, it's just not how you do business.
While Jerry Jeudy does what Jerry Judy's doing.
Right, right.
Like, guy, and listen, I'll be honest with you, I don't put this one on Kevin Stefanski. I don't think Kevin Stefanski is a great leader of men. Actually, no. I'm not going to give Kevin the old Peterlin pass. I'm not going to do it. Because he's the head coach, and at some point, you need to stand up for Wyatt Teller.
You got to stand for something in that moment.
But that being said, to me, this is organizational. And I'll tell you right now, Jimmy Haslam, you got your beautiful damn stadium, right? You got your $230 million quarterback. You got all the things you want in life. If you do one thing right from here on out the rest of the season, treat Wyatt Teller right. Because crap like he's got to show some things. We're going to bring him back in a different capacity. There's only so much disrespect one man should take. And I'll be honest with you. I don't like this isn't even strong enough. I just can't use the words that I feel every time we talk about this freaking story. Because disrespect isn't even a strong enough word. Sorry, because you get pumped up, and then I get pumped up, and then we get pumped up. Then we get pumped up together.
It's time to do it, you know? Just gotta, you know.
It's just not hard. It's not hard to treat people right. And when you treat the wrong people right and you treat the right people wrong, you can just blow it all the way out your ass. You just really can. How much disgrace can you bring on a town? And how much disrespect can people take? The Lead coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at AboutAmazon.com.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.